Hello! Welcome all to another episode of the Baywatch podcast. I believe we're on episode 15 now. Is that correct, Rich?
I think so, yeah.
We are nailing it. If you are new to the pod, I'm just going to quickly explain what we do. We have taken it upon ourselves to watch Baywatch, the classic 90s TV show, one episode at a time from series one. And with me is my podcasting pal, is Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
I think we're over halfway through this series now. How do you think it's going?
Great. I'm really happy to be over halfway. I think we have got over a hump of kind of bad episodes, and I feel like it's going to be like gold from now on in.
I don't think you're right.
I don't think I'm right either. I don't know what I'm talking about.
After this episode, I think we're in trouble. I'm going to quickly, as ever, I do the IMDb blurb, what the episode is about and what the name of the episode is.
And normally, it bears no relation to what actually happens in the episode.
Well, I think this one's the same. I don't even get the name of it. Anyway, this one, I'm going to ask you.
Oh, I get the name. I get the name.
Home Court. I know a guy is coming back, but is that a pun for something?
His name is John Court.
Yes, but Home Court doesn't make sense to me. As in,
well, it's like Home Court Advantage, isn't it? So it's like, it's a basketball term. It's like playing at home.
I did wonder it was, but yeah. His name is spelled differently, right?
Yeah, yeah. I
so they're trying to be clever.
Yeah, they're trying to be clever. Probably a little too clever, to be honest, for Baywatch. But yeah, his name is John Court and he's come home.
Yes, he is. New character, while coming. Right, here is the blurb. Not Max. Who the hell's Max? Mitch's charismatic but roguish old buddy, John D. Court, joins Baywatch. However, he actually is there to pull off a shady deal. Shawnee and Jill start selling sandwiches on the beach to put a shady sandwich vendor out of business. And that...
It's fairly accurate. Like, I mean, it is fairly accurate, right?
Yes, but I wouldn't call the sandwich vendor shady at all.
No. I'm actually kind of on his side. Yeah, me too. Me too.
They were horrible. Yeah, and it says old buddy joins Baywatch. He was somehow already a member of Baywatch a long time ago. He's a legend on the Bay.
He's an ex-Navy SEAL, and this is when we find out that Mitch was also a Navy SEAL. So, would it kind of explain why Mitch is kind of all like action-adventure guy? If he was also an ex-Navy SEAL.
We've got to do some research in that. I can't believe that at all, that Mitch is an ex-Navy SEAL.
Apparently so.
So there is only two storylines on this one.
Yes, there is, yeah.
I would say one of them's even barely a storyline. It's like they shot the other storyline and then figured out they're 10 minutes short.
Oh, God, the sandwich storyline? No. It's like one-fifth of a storyline, essentially. It's terrible. I'm completely taking back all the stuff I said about Jill stuff being really good because this just ruined it.
I couldn't believe what I was watching for most of it. Shall we just talk about it and get it out of the way?
Yeah, let's get the sandwich one out of the way because it's
ridiculous just talking about it. So, oh God, where do we even start on this one?
Okay, so there is a guy selling sandwiches on the beach out of a cooler, and it seems like he's been doing that for a long time. Shawnee buys a sandwich from him and doesn't like it, essentially. That's basically what happens is she goes to him and says, there's not enough meat in this sandwich. I took 3 bites and there was no meat in it. And then when I did get to the meat, it didn't taste very nice. And he was like, well, you've eaten 2/3 of the sandwich. How about I give you 2/3 of your money back, kind of thing, 1/3 of your money back. And she doesn't like that, and she thinks he's shady. Although, lots of other people are buying sandwiches from him and presumably not complaining, because he's still selling them. So
exactly. There's a demand, and you're not going to go anywhere else, so you put your prices up slightly more, because there's nowhere else, and it's right there.
Capitalism, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So Shawnee takes it upon herself to ruin this guy's business.
Yeah, pretty much. Not just herself, but Jill as well. And,
oh yeah, I can't forget Jill was on it as well.
Yeah, but there's a weird Baywatch thing here again that I noticed. That really made my brain itch is that Shawnee and Jill are having this conversation and it keeps cutting from tight shot to like two shot. So it cuts from like Shawnee to Jill. And every single time they cut the shot, Jill is in a different place. She's like, So they're leaning on the thing, and then she's not, and then she's over here, and then she's over there. I was like, this is really hurting my head. Why can't she just stay still? What is going on? It's horrible editing all over again.
It's because it's so last minute. I don't even think this was a storyline. I think they just panicked and thought, we have to film something. What have we got? Well, we've got sandwiches. We got the catering crew had all those sandwiches left over. Let's just throw some of those in a scene and we'll work something out.
We've got this gawky guy who's in The Mummy.
In The Mummy? He's in True Lies.
Is he in True Lies, is he? He's
like... the computer.
Oh,
he's not in Dante's Peak.
Oh, he's not The Mummy. It's The Scorpion King. He's like the Mummy's kind of like bodyguard-y type dude, isn't he? It's like something like that.
I can't remember... But I can tell you he's an
henchman.
Oscar winner.
Is he?
Yeah, because he's a producer now. He's George Clooney's right-hand man.
Oh.
And he won an Oscar for Argo, the Ben Affleck.
Really?
His name, guys, we should give you a name. He's Grant Herzloff.
Is that our first Oscar winner on Baywatch?
I was thinking that, and I think it probably is.
There we go. First Oscar winner on Baywatch.
He's been in quite a lot, but he's produced most of Clooney's recent work, as in the last 10 days. The Good Night and Good Luck and Monument Men and stuff like that.
Okay.
He's probably popped up in a few of them. Of course, you know, he was originally an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grant Herzloff. Herzloff? Herzloff.
Cool.
But yeah, first Oscar winner. And all he wanted to do was sell sandwiches.
Yeah. He did just want to sell his sandwiches. And he looked so despondent when he was being undercut for his sandwiches, didn't he?
By what? I'm about to say a dollar. Is
two,
right? What
I
is
think. $2.
What is a hoagie as well?
I thought that too. What is a hoagie? I'm going to Google it. I've heard of hoagies.
I bet everyone in America now, whoever listens to this, is just shouting at us, going, "Hoagies,
yeah,
are
yeah,
certain.
I bet.
It's
I bet.
A roll, dickheads. It's a roll. It's a bologna roll or whatever it is. And also, he's got a cool box and he's selling ice cream. That's not going to last long.
A hoagie is a submarine sandwich filled with Italian meats, cheeses, and other toppings. The name likely comes from the Philadelphia area, where during World War I, Italian immigrants who worked at Hog Island shipyard began making sandwiches. They were originally called hoggies before the name hoagie took hold.
Sounds delicious.
It's a sub, basically.
It's a meatball sub.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a Italian meats and cheeses in a Subway sandwich.
Right, okay. Well, so, yeah. I'd have one of them. That sounds better than whatever crap they were trying to make. And their idea, I've even written it down, Shawnee's sandwich plan is stupid.
So there's a bit where Shawnee and Gio were sat in Baywatch headquarters wrapping up sandwiches. Not very sanitary, I have to say. They're not passing any health codes, are they? I love the fact that Shawnee goes, "We can make them at night and sell them on our days off." I was like, do you have no life? Why are you desperately trying to fill your time? If you're not got a telly.
She's got grand plans because she wants to put the profits into more other expensive things like T-shirts and sun cream and stuff. And you can sell that as well. So really, I think she's trying to get away from the lifeguarding. I don't think she's interested in it.
She's an entrepreneur. She's an entrepreneur.
She's seen another world and she's going with it.
So Trevor comes in to steal. This is another thing that made my brain itch. Is that Trevor comes in to steal a sandwich. He picks this sandwich up, which is not wrapped. Holds it for a while in his bare hand and then puts it down because they want to charge him for it and he doesn't want to pay. And then Jill wraps it up, wraps up this sandwich, presumably to sell it to someone after Trevor's had his like bogey filled hands all over it. But then, I'm not sure what Trevor gave the sandwich, but it somehow magically walks across the table. I don't know if you noticed this. tight shot of Trevor and then a wide shot back and the sandwich is 3 feet away.
Honestly, guys.
What's happened there? Continuity on this program is
because it's last minute. And they're like, "What actors have we got around? Oh, we got Trevor. Get him in. We'll use him for a line." I've got a fact about Trevor as well in this one, and I'm not going to feel how you're going to like about it.
Go for it.
But apparently, that is the last time we ever see Trevor. I'm not even lying.
No,
that's it.
You're
joking. He just disappears.
Oh my god! After all that,
it's. Yeah, apparently so.
No
that's
way.
What the word on the street is on Twitter. I said, "Oh, we're doing this episode next," and someone was like, "Oh, that's Trevor's big farewell." And I was like, "What?" And that's it. He doesn't turn up, and he never gets mentioned ever again. Apparently, that is. I don't know if this is right or wrong. We'll find out in future episodes. But I've read like a couple of the blurbs for the next few episodes, obviously, because we're planning. And his name does not get mentioned. Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
That's his Trevor's last line dropped. That he's annoyed that he can't get a sandwich.
maybe he quit over it. we should write something about why Trevor quit. to do with the sandwich.
He's got this storyline. Like, this is bad, guys.
I've been in Home Away and this is bullshit.
But yeah, just imagine if we never see Trevor again. They've put all this effort, the last 14 whatever it is episode, of creating this character. A character that actually at the moment is actually doing some pretty decent stuff, and they've actually made him a 3D yeah. character. And then they're just like, get rid of him. We've got John D. Cult coming in. And if that is correct,
crazy.
I don't know. It's completely blown my mind. Because I'm
genuinely sad
yes!
about it.
Me too. I actually really started to enjoy his stuff.
I thought there was a blossoming romance with Jill going to happen. Some ill-advised kind of romance between the two
yes.
of them. Where he actually kind of saw the error of his ways and started to, you know, come round to the good side.
Last week he was just winning a volleyball competition with her. He was...
Yeah.
He's got his job on Baywatch. He's wearing the red shorts. He's becoming a better person. And now...
Crazy.
We could be wrong, listeners. He might pop up again, but the words... on the street that he doesn't. And they're introducing a new character that we'll get onto, and I feel that's who's replacing him.
Yeah, you might be right.
I'm a little bit worried.
I'm really upset about it. I'm genuinely really sad about it. You know, like when you really binge watch a series
yeah.
and then when it's over you're like, oh god. I actually feel like a bit of grief. Like, I'm not going to see these guys that I've really invested in, these characters.
What, when it gets cancelled?
I feel like I'm missing my friends.
Well, he has got 22 credits of Baywatch to his name, but they might just because he's credited in the titles. It doesn't mean he's...
Yeah, but Captain Thorpe's credited in, like, everyone, and he's not been in it for a while, has he?
No. Well, he turns up for, like, normally 1 second, but not in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he turn up in this one?
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing him. If he didn't have a line.
He gets mentioned because that John D. Court's telling a story. Again, we'll go on to that. So let's get back on the storyline. Yeah. Trevor doesn't get a sandwich because he's unwilling to pay for it. So we never see him again.
Wants a Baywatch discount. Yeah. Lifeguard discount.
This business of Shawnee and Jill's is putting the other guys out of business because they're selling it for cheaper. Yeah. And there's a weird little storyline about a man and a woman... who are continuously arguing.
Ugh, and a, yeah,
and
that's
the guy,
horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible.
It is, yeah.
I don't even know where to start with it.
I mean, they're both basically quite physically violent to each other, essentially, is what's happening. It's a very, very toxic relationship between this man and this woman where they're both awfully violent to
yes.
each other. not her on him or him on her. They're both hideously horrible to each other.
But it's okay because they love each other.
Is it? Is it okay? Or is it heinously destructive? Like,
well, we'll never see them again, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God.
So that business, but then the other guy works out how to make more money is to sell the sandwiches with bikini babes again.
Yeah, yeah.
The go-to plan.
Because that's the answer. Here we go, Baywatch. Let's get some more women in bikinis on the beach, which is full of women in bikinis. Like, why? How is that a draw? I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled.
It works, though.
They also appear to be, like, oiled up. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Other than that, they're very sweaty.
Yeah.
Either way... I'm not sure I want anyone like that touching any food that I'm about to eat, because that's just... They're either very sweaty or very oily. Either way, no.
Would you buy a sandwich from a person on the beach like that?
No, of course not. Of course not, Dave. Who comes up to you with a cool box and tries to sell you a sandwich?
Well, it might happen a lot there. It doesn't happen like on Bognor or... You know,
no, it definitely doesn't happen
Western
in Bognor.
Western Supermare or wherever it is. Or
that's because definitely nobody would trust anyone coming up to them with a cool box of sandwiches in Bognor. Come on. On your bike,
more like more likely to be drugs by this point. That is not
exactly.
a reference to the lovely people of Bognor Regis. We've been there. It's really nice. I'm just making a joke.
I lived there for a little while. You know, it's fine.
Crazy shit has happened there, but it's fine. James lives there.
Little Hampton, on the other hand, crazy.
But also lovely, I imagine.
So no, who is buying sandwiches from a guy who turns up like that? I mean, they do mention at one point about a weenie wagon. The weenie wagon has closed down, but you know, I would definitely prefer the weenie wagon to the guy with the cool box of sandwiches.
I remembered his name because I written it down. It's Buddy T. Semple or Semple.
Yeah, Buddy T. Semple. He's very clear about that. Quite a few times.
That's because he wants to grow his business because he's a businessman. And he's seen a gap in the market, which is selling food on the beach, food and drink. I really don't see the problem. Just because Jill doesn't like the taste of a sandwich, because maybe he's cutting a few corners.
Shawnee, not Jill. Jill kind of gets roped in.
Why did she say yes to it then? Why is she?
I don't know. God knows. If I was Jill, I'd be like, Shawnee, you're being insane.
And it is insane.
Just be a lifeguard, for God's sake. Surely that is enough of a job for you.
Enjoy your days off.
If they're selling the sandwiches on their days off, what do they get, 2 days off a week? And those days off appears to coincide, so they only have 2 days a week of selling sandwiches. It's not a viable business, is it?
Yeah. The other guy's got another 5 days that he'd be rocking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The times that the beach is busy will be the times that Shawnee and Jill are working, because they're lifeguards. So they can't take this opportunity.
And the beach is massive.
Jesus Christ. It is the worst thought through storyline ever.
It's the lowest of the low that we've been through.
Who wrote this? Can we find out who wrote this? Because we need to find out if they ever wrote anything else.
I can't blame the writers because... I can blame the writers.
Yeah, you can! They wrote this crap.
Well, there is five writers, but I think three of them are on every week. There's Michael Burke, okay. Douglas Schwartz, Gregory J. Bonnen, Terry Irwin, William... All men, by the way, I think. William A. Schwartzer. I just think they've just ran out of ideas. The other storyline's quite strong as a storyline.
It is, that's true. The other storyline is reasonably strong and actually, you know, has some... quite a lot of jeopardy and, you know, heartbreak in it for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You know, real emotion for about a millisecond or three.
Yeah, this is just lazy. I just think they ran out of time, or they did the episode and they run in it coming up short, or they needed to replace something at the last minute. It's just, this is all guesses.
Tip for next time. I know we complain about montages, but 10 minutes of montage would have been better than this crap.
But they could have actually done what they said in the bio. It could have been a shady sandwich vendor, you know, trying to sell.
Yeah, it wasn't even shady.
Put drugs in it, whatever. No, it's a young guy. He's a geeky guy trying to make some money on the beach.
Yeah, he's not even shady. He's just an entrepreneur. That's all. He's not. He wasn't even Del Boy,
he's
was
got,
he?
He's got no, bills he's... to pay. He's got, you know, rent to get out. Generally, made me angry watching this one. Genuinely made me angry.
Yeah. It was annoying. It was definitely annoying.
Dumb as shit.
Can we move on from this one? Because I don't think there's anything
basically,
we need
finished
to talk
it.
About this anymore.
And then after the bikini babe selling thing,
that was it.
Shawnee and Jill decided that, they've been beaten.
Well, they didn't even say, did they? Did I miss this? Did I miss the closing of this story? That they just see that he's using some bikini babes? Not to mention that Jill and Shawnee spend all day... in swimwear on the beach.
The last you see of this is him waving, like with a big smile on his face, and then Shawnee and Jill just like, that's it, rolling their eyes like, oh, we've lost, kind of thing. And that's it.
Yeah. Ridiculous. It's just, that was it. That was it.
Yes, that was it. On to the next storyline, which...
Is that the most ridiculous one we've had so far? I think it probably is. The most pointless and ridiculous story.
I'm trying to think of the. Apart from the kids going around all the dangerous places they originally weren't allowed to go around.
There was kind of a point to that, though, wasn't there? There was kind of... I mean, it was a terrible, terrible point and a terrible, terrible, like, responsibility parenting-wise.
Yeah.
But it kind of had a point to it. This was just pathetic.
But nothing else.
No point. They may as well. I mean, to be honest, if they'd have replaced it with, 10 different shots of a volleyball hitting the beach again, I wouldn't have noticed, I don't think. That's how much impact this storyline
they
had.
Could have had like a sandcastle competition, and that would have been better than this. They're on a beach. If that's not a storyline at some point in Baywatch, I would be very disappointed.
It's like, oh man, there needs to be a sandcastle building competition. Like, that would be ace.
Yeah.
Not to steal storylines from Paw Patrol or anything, but that's ace. That happens
in Paw Patrol, does it? I think it happens in Farm and Sam and stuff as well. So
yeah, it definitely happens in Paw Patrol. Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, it's rubbish. It's fucking shit.
Whoa, Dave. It is bad.
Because I was quite looking forward to the Shady Sandwich Fair. I thought it was going to be really funny. I thought it was going to be like the couple that dropped the money from their plane. When your plane crashed in the water, and it was all jokes. And it was, yeah. And it wasn't. Again.
No.
But.
It was.
But it left time for the other storyline to really grow.
Ish. So we are introduced to a brand spanking new character in the credits, no less.
I didn't watch. I'm not going to lie to you. I skipped the credits this week.
You skipped the credits. Get out.
The best bit. The best 5 minutes.
You literally... The best editing of the whole show, and you skipped
it. So he's
it.
In there now, is
the
he?
The credit. He is in the credits, yeah. John... what's his name? John... His name's John as well, the actor's
John
name's
Alan
John
Nelson.
Well. John Nelson, yeah, he is in 24. Did you notice?
No, I don't. Haven't watched all of 24.
He is President Logan's chief of staff in 24. He is exceptionally shady in 24, and he basically tries to have Jack murdered by the Chinese.
Then 24.
Gets his comeuppance. Yeah, he gets murdered, and it's framed as suicide and stuff. But yeah, he's pretty shady in 24. And I knew I recognised him as soon as I saw him, even though he's a lot younger and a lot buffer in Baywatch than he is in 24.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's one specimen of a man, I tell you.
Sexy montage, I put it.
He deserves a sexy montage too.
He is built, like, especially when he stands next to that little old Eddie. No wonder Mitch...
I thought that too. Like, him standing next to Eddie, and Eddie just looks like a chubby toddler.
No wonder Mitch keeps his shirt on for the whole of this episode. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, John Nelson, that is, you've got a one hell of a six pack, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so you set the scene. So this guy. So
yeah, this guy turns up. We're sort of introduced to him in a bar where he is playing pool, and a woman with a dodgy rose tattoo on her boob notices him. You know she's trouble because she's got a rose tattoo on her boob that stands out a mile off. Dressed in leopard print. She comes over and starts flirting with him, and her boyfriend, who does not look like he would be her boyfriend, he looks like he's just come out of prison, and about 20 years older than her, with a very large beer belly and a beard.
Yep.
And yeah, she does not look like she would be with him. But you never know. It's, you know, very different to John D. Court. Also noticed they kind of finish the credits in this scene, and they actually do the title of the episode in the end of the credits. I think that's the first time I've seen that.
Oh,
so they actually said, you know, it actually comes up at the end of the credits, Home Court, and then there's a sort of a shot of the outside of the bar, and then we go inside. I think that's the first time I've seen that.
I haven't even noticed that, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a new thing for me. I don't know if they've done it before. I don't remember having seen it before, but yeah, I was like, oh, the title of the episode. Oh, that's brilliant. So anyway, we go into this bar. The guy takes objection to John D. Court whispering in his girlfriend's ear, and he starts a fight with him, and we find out that John is pretty handy and dispatches this guy and two of his friends pretty quickly. Also, like, sort of goading them, saying, I really could have hurt you if I wanted to, kind of thing, but I'm kind of, you know, letting you off a bit lightly.
Do you know who he reminded me of at that point?
Who do you remind you of?
Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Yes! That's exactly what I thought. I totally agree with you. Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. That is exactly what he reminded me of. I think they've maybe nicked a bit of that film for this as well. Yep. We know how they like to steal movies. And he leaves the bar with the girl, jumps on a motorbike, which does not look like the motorbike suits him.
This is like, what I've noted.
Thinking that there are loads of these Harleys outside this bar, and then he's got like a bright white scrambler bike.
Like a teenager would have.
It's like, yeah. I was like, that bike does not look like it suits him. However,
That bike was the biker guy. The big muscle.
What? No.
The biker guy, that was his bike from inside.
They stole his bike.
Yeah, he mentions it.
I thought it was the girl's bike because, like, a few scenes later, she drives off on the bike.
What's her face? He's going to give it back or sell it.
Oh, so right.
So that biker who.
That really doesn't suit him then.
That's what I noted. I was like, this is weird, because you're imagining him to be
the guy looks Harley. The guy looks like someone out of Sons of Anarchy, and he's driving like a plastic scrambler bike. The only reason I could think of that they want this scrambler bike is because they ride it on the beach, don't they? And you wouldn't ride a Harley on the beach. You couldn't ride a Harley on the beach; it'd sink. So I think that's probably why they'd pick this scrambler thing,
100%,
to ride it on the beach in the next scene. And just happened to bump into Mitch.
Jesus Christ. Yes, they did. And somehow spray him in water. How did Mitch not see the bike?
I don't know.
Baywatch.
Very contrived.
Anyway, yeah, Court splashes him through the window.
And it's this point that we find out that John Court and Mitch are actually good friends.
Good friends.
And that they were Navy SEALs together. No less.
I can't get my head around this. I cannot buy Mitch as a Navy SEAL. No, I'm not having it.
He's a lot of things, Mitch, but he doesn't really come across as a hard man, does he?
No. No, he doesn't.
He does not have the look of a man who's killed someone. And I think if you were a Navy SEAL, then chances are you've had to kill someone.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because I know that Sam guy that we meet, he was a Navy SEAL. I thought they only knew each other from lifeguarding.
But no, because there's a photo of all. It says here on Wikipedia, Mitch was a Navy SEAL who taught hand-to-hand combat while in the service.
Unbelievable.
He's also excellent at defusing hostage situations.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Apparently so, yeah.
Can't wait for him to put that into technique. Because so far, every time he's come across something like that, he hasn't been great.
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to let that sink in for a minute. So, Mitch.
It says here, as a SEAL, Mitch went on at least two operations, one of which he could not talk about. He also had a commanding officer named Junkyard who said that Mitch was never good at taking orders and never knew when to quit. The operations hinted at in Baywatch Hawaii did not match the timeline of the original Baywatch. Continuity error in Baywatch? Never. Mitch was shown to have a carefree, cavalier attitude towards his work as a SEAL, starkly contrasting the character's attitude towards the work and profession of a lifeguard. So none of this makes sense, essentially. The background of Mitch is just haywire. Okay. But yeah, apparently he was a Navy SEAL, because there was a photo of him and John D. Court and the guy we're going to be introduced to who runs the surf shop. Yeah. Who are all Navy SEALs together, by the looks of it.
Okay.
Although, yeah, we've never met the other guy.
No,
before.
Well, obviously we haven't. That is, again, another Baywatch way of making TV. So he's there because he wants to renew his lifeguard license, which apparently you have to do 10 days, however, a year, even though he's been buggered off for years and years and years in Jamaica and stuff and other places.
Yeah.
But to keep your license, you have to do 10 days. So he annoys Mitch for some shifts.
Yeah, he does. So he can do 10 days as a lifeguard. Although I have a feeling he's going to do more than 10 days because he's a reoccurring character in the rest of the series. By all
spoiler!
So, spoiler alert, sorry. He's around for a bit more than 10 days. Try 10 more episodes.
Definitely the rest of the series. And I haven't got a problem with him as a character, to be honest.
No, he's all right.
He's all right. Like we said, sexy montage. It was definitely something for the ladies. I can imagine the mums.
It was something for, you know, if you like that sort of thing, then it was something for you.
He's working out.
He does have a bit of a confrontation with Eddie, doesn't he?
Well, we should probably say why he's there. At the beginning of the episodes, it starts with scuba diving, doesn't it? That's the first thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was somebody scuba diving and placing a bomb underneath some crates.
Yes.
So there's some crates in the ocean, which appear to say they've got electronic equipment in them, which would surely be fucked. It's under the ocean, for God's sake. All this, whatever's in there is going to be screwed.
Yeah. So it's John's basically job. He's kind of like a little bit of a smuggler. And there's another bad guy somewhere who I think is called Jack Burton in this episode, whose employer wants John to go get the crates because of tax reasons or custom reasons.
Basically, yeah, some stuff. They didn't want to pay import tax on some stuff, so they dumped it off the boat before they got into the harbour so that they could avoid these customs charges. And they want John to go out and retrieve this stuff, dive down and retrieve this
stuff. Before that, we see a shady character, because there's always a shady character.
Who follows John from the bar in a car?
He follows him the whole episode.
When he drives off,
you keep seeing is the tattoo, which I think was meant to be a Navy SEAL tattoo. I think that's what that was.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't get that at all. So there we are. He's doing a job there. He's come back. Also wants to get his lifeguarding license renewed. He's a legend around the watch, Baywatch. He has a certain locker, which is now Eddie's locker.
Ooh. Yeah, bit of tension there over the old locker, because he starts shifting Eddie's stuff out of it, doesn't he? And Eddie shows up whilst he's criticising Eddie's aftershave, which, I mean, to be honest, it's probably rubbish because it's Eddie's. Yeah. And they end up having a bit of a row, which escalates very quickly, because Eddie very, very quickly into the conversation punches him in the face.
I've written it down. Punch from nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere. Just smacks him one straight in the face. And John basically doesn't react. He just shakes Eddie's hand and says, "That's a nice punch. I'm going to give you that one."
Might as well pat him on the head.
And Eddie just looks... Eddie just looks really confused. But it works, because Eddie then follows him around like a little lost puppy for the rest of the episode.
I think he finds out who he is at that point, and then is a little bit worried that, oh my God, he's a Navy SEAL and could break me in half as soon as... But then Eddie's like born on the streets in Philadelphia, so, you know, he thought he could be in that fight. And we've clearly seen for the last how many episodes that he couldn't be at this point. It was like you said, it went from nowhere. And it was quite funny. I quite laughed. I don't know if I was meant to laugh. But I did.
I don't know. It was quite funny. Yeah, so, and we should mention that every time we see shots of these crates, there's some sinister kind of music that plays. Mm-hmm. We miss that out. But yeah, whenever you see shots of these crates, it's kind of sinister music, which just gives you that extra clue that something bad's going to happen in the whole Baywatch kind of way, where you must spell it out for as long as possible.
Same shot as well. Again, I'm pretty sure it was just the same shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, underwater shots are expensive, aren't they? So let's just use the same one over and over again.
Do you reckon is that a tank or actually under the sea? Am I being naive here and thinking that they actually went into the ocean and filmed that?
I imagine it's a swimming pool, personally, but who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Fair enough.
So John has got to get these things get these crates out with the sinister music. And we don't really know why there's a bomb in there. We keep seeing shots of the bomb. Also, have you noticed in Craig's locker? So there's a scene with Craig opens his locker. He appears to have the fake can of shaving foam from Jurassic Park in his locker.
Oh, really?
I know this is pre-Jurassic Park, but it looks like he's been nicking dinosaur embryos.
Wouldn't surprise me. Must be a brand.
Every time he opens his locker, right, it's always there. Like, it's the one bit of continuity that's actually in this show. Like, every episode, he opens his locker and there's that can of shaving foam. And it always makes me think of Jurassic Park.
And yet we've never seen him shave.
No, never seen him shave. But hey, that's because it's not real shaving foam. It's dinosaur embryo.
Yeah, but the cream still comes out of it.
True. That
don't
is take
true. That away from yeah. it. Had to make it look real. I love Jurassic Park.
Now, that is a great film. But considering it doesn't happen until much later, I think it's, what, 93, Jurassic Park?
Yeah, so not too far away, only 3 years. So we're a bit early. But anyway, let's talk about Sam.
Sam? Who was Sam? Oh, Sam's the surf shop guy, right?
Who's Sam?
Who's Sam? I just had him a surf shop, dude. So John goes off to a surf shop, which it turns out is run by his buddy, ex-Navy SEAL buddy, and Sam. There is a picture behind the thing of Sam, Mitch and John together, suggesting they're all really good friends. However, Mitch has never mentioned Sam, or we've never seen Sam before, so we don't know how...
Or Navy SEALing, or anything.
Or being a Navy SEAL, never mentioned before.
Do you reckon Hobie knows his dad's a Navy SEAL?
Oh, God knows. God knows.
Do you reckon Gale knows? But yeah, it's bizarre that...
I would imagine they do, but, you know, it's just not talked about. So, yeah, this guy in the shop, John wants it to help him to help him scuba dive down and get these...
Because he has a boat.
Get these crates. The guy's a bit hesitant, but kind of says yes. He's got a boat. He's going to help
him. Needs the money.
And he says, John, that can stay on the... Yeah, he needs the money because the shop's not doing that well. And he sort of said, which is weird, why is the shop not doing that well? It's like... A surf shop on the beach. Surely it should be selling loads of stuff. Yeah, anyway.
That's another discussion like that.
Agrees that John can stay as long as he pumps up his own air mattress.
Jesus.
And that's kind of the end of that bit. And the next morning is kind of John waking up fully clothed apart from his boots, which are just his cowboy boots which are next to him, and cowboy hat kind of thing that he's been wearing. But he doesn't seem southern at all, so I'm not sure where that's come from. Yeah, there's some sort of reference to Clint Eastwood, isn't there? But he doesn't actually kind of have any kind of... He doesn't have a southern drawl or anything. But anyway, you know. So, yeah, he kind of... The other guy, the shop guy, says he slept on it and he doesn't really want to be involved. But I think... Does John talk him round? He must do, because he does go with him, doesn't he?
This money could pay for, like, half a year's rent or whatever it is. Which... And all you have to do is a bit of scuba diving. It's easy money. It's not.
Yeah. Turns out... It's not, though. And I've got to be honest. I have to be honest here. This is the point in the episode where my interest started to wane a little. And I kind of got to here, and I was just... I don't know why. Maybe it was the sandwich thing was putting me off, but I just kind of lost it a little bit at this point. And so... If I'm a bit shady on the details, it's because I was kind of zoning out. I've got to be honest. It wasn't grabbing me.
I think we're meant to be more involved than the episode makes you, because these are all meant to be mates. And at this point, they've gone down to get the thing from the bottom of the ocean, which isn't very deep, by the way. Again, it looked like they could stand up in it.
No, it's not.
Sadly, it's...
Because it's a swimming pool, not the ocean.
Sadly, it's not Colt that is picking the crate up with the C4 or whatever it is that you find out gets stolen. It's this Sam guy, and there's this massive explosion. I thought it was an okay explosion for Baywatch.
No, it was awful. It was blue. What colour would an explosion under the sea be? Oh, a blue, of course. It was terrible.
I have a lot lower standards, I can give you, Rich. I was like, oh yeah.
I know it was the 90s. We're used to better CGI, I guess, but it looked like something from like their stop motion Godzilla movies to me.
Yeah.
You know, from like the 60s.
So this guy dies.
Pretty bad.
And then the police don't get involved at all. And no one. I mean.
No. Well, I mean, Garner does turn up.
But
though,
if there was a
Garner's
bomb
around
there and this person died, they would have sent a dive team down probably to have a look.
Oh, yeah, of course you would. But they don't do that. No.
They're
they
like,
don't
what
send
are
a dive team down.
What
no,
are these
no, no.
crates
that
doing
far
here?
Too,
of,
far too
stolen TVs or whatever it is. Let's get those in the compound. No.
Yeah. But Garner just goes with Mitch and John to confront the old guy on the
Again,
boat.
Yep, Jack denies it.
And he claims to have nothing to do with it. You know, he doesn't know. Why would he blow up his own
Which
stuff,
is
basically, is what he's saying. And they all kind of just go, oh, yeah, fair enough. That's, I guess that's true.
No, let's arrest him and take him down to the police, you know, station. And actually,
oh no, you know, let's go down to the station and you can answer some questions. Oh no, no, that's fine.
And they even take
we'll just leave
with
you
him.
Alone.
You would never. That would never happen. Why would you take here? You know, it's all going to blow up and he's going to be angry. Well, he's angry for about 5 minutes and then he seems to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, he's upset and angry. He's angry until the guy on the boat that kind of comes, basically says, why would I blow up my own stuff? And then he's like, oh yeah, no, he's not angry anymore, good point. And then he's sad, yeah, for about 30 seconds, isn't he, when they're all sitting around at Mitch's house drinking, and then that's, yeah, you know, that's it, like, grieving over, done with, bye. Oh well, never mind, no funeral, no, nothing like that.
You're right, this is maybe their best friend. Another best friend.
Just awful. But he does kind of... Does he? Do you think at this point he figures out who that someone's trying to get him? Or do you think it's the bomb in the shop where he figures it out? Because he goes back to the shop, doesn't he? Because he's staying there. You know, why would you stop staying there? You know, in your friend's shop, again, who's now blown to pieces.
And there would have been forensics or something.
Yeah. But anyway, he goes to the shop and he opens with Eddie. A cupboard. I don't know. Like I say, could well be the fridge. I'd kind of lost interest at this point. I've got to be completely honest with you. My mind had wandered somewhere else. And yeah, opens a cupboard or the fridge or something, and there's a bomb in there. And he manages to dive, because it's not a very big bomb, he explains to Eddie. It's a warning. He's like, oh, that bomb was there to scare me, not kill me, kind of thing. So I think that's the point he figures out who it is that's trying to kill him.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he ring him? The guy rings him on his mobile or something, on the phone, and reveals himself. Bit. And then they sort of meet me out here in the ocean. It's coming back to me now.
Oh, that's after, though, isn't it? That's after the bomb in the shop, right?
Jesus Christ, guys. This is honestly...
Do we know why? I still don't know why. I'm really confused. Like... The guy who's trying to blow him up is also an ex-Navy SEAL, right?
Yes, yes.
But we don't know why he's trying to blow John up.
I feel like John's the kind of person that does things to annoy a lot of people, but...
But, I mean, literally, to blow you up, though.
Slept with his wife. Honestly, I don't know. I haven't got it written down. I couldn't tell you.
I'm glad it's not me, because I have no idea either. I thought I'd fallen asleep or something. But I've got genuinely no idea why this guy wants to blow John up. I don't think they talk about it. I don't even mention it. What's his motive?
I know at one point Gardner mentions the C4 has been stolen from somewhere. And then a lot of people put the two and two together that, oh, the C4 is missing and things keep blowing up around court. So that they must be connected. But the only reason they find out who it is because he rings him.
Yeah.
The bad guy rings court.
But do you not think court has an idea who it is before that? I thought he kind of like goes, oh, this guy's trying to blow me up.
He has an idea because the C4 is very technical and, you know, like, oh, this looks like it's professional. You know what this kind of reminded me of? And I've written it down because there's lots of it. Lethal Weapon music I've written. There's lots of Lethal Weapon music. And Court kind of reminds me of Riggs.
Of Mel Gibson, yeah.
This ex-Nazi SEAL, like, Raj, this is serious shit.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He does.
And it's next Navy SEAL that's trying to kill them in Lethal Weapon 1.
Yeah, they're ripping off Lethal Weapon, aren't they? You're right. You're spot on.
What makes this even better is that Eddie's Murtaugh.
Yeah, no one blows up his toilet, though, do they?
I'm getting too old for this shit. But maybe. I don't know why he's trying. I think he's just pissed him off. Let's just say he's pissed him off somehow.
Yeah, if anyone listening knows why and can tell us why, please let us know, because we're at a loss.
I think we both pretty much turned off at the same point in this episode. The sandwich episode. I was like, oh, this is just dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. I mean, I'm not saying this storyline was definitely better. You know, this wasn't a bad storyline. There's holes in it. There's massive gaps in it. I mean, if they filmed this and then went, oh, we've got 10 minutes to fill, I can tell you exactly where you can fill those 10 minutes in this storyline, i.e. give it some backstory and fill in some of this information. Don't do the stupid bloody sandwich story. Cut that crap. Just fill this one in. An extra 10 minutes on this would have been brilliant. Actually build some tension in it, please. You know, give us some idea.
I did enjoy the scuba fight.
Yeah, very James Bond-esque, I thought, the scuba fight. You know, it was kind of, could have been watching an old school James Bond film. That's what it felt like to me. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Trying to use a knife to cut the scuba lines, you know, that's the.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was a good bit of action. I enjoyed that too. Apparently completely pointless because the guy was going to blow up the boat in the first place. Why did he even turn up in the scuba gear? Why didn't he just lay the bomb in the boat and get the fuck out of there?
Exactly. I can't even picture the guy who was trying to kill him. I can't even picture
it. No, well, you barely saw him. You barely saw the guy.
Is it Grant?
Like, you saw his arm. You saw like his tattoo. You saw like bits of him, but you didn't really see him. And he had the scuba mask on. You know, he was in scuba gear when they actually kind of fought. You barely kind of saw him, apart from the phone. Well, apart from when he was on the phone, is when you kind of saw his face.
I think his name was Grant.
Right. Okay.
That's a Baywatch killer's name.
Yeah. Of course it is. So yeah, we've got no idea why he's trying to kill John, but anyway, he turns out he challenges John to a scuba fight, and John turns up with Eddie to have a scuba fight in the ocean. And then once John's dispatched him and beaten him, he goes, "No, he didn't want to kill me. He wanted to blow me to smithereens." And he's like, "Oh, wait. There's a bomb!"
You've missed that Mitch and Gardner turn up in all of this.
Oh, I did. Yeah, sorry, because Mitch has the most awful orange like jumpsuit thing on.
Yes.
Like, what the hell? He looks like a crash test dummy. What is that?
I just like how they take the bad guy away and leave them in the ocean. Like, oh, well,
Yeah, they take the bad guy off and just like, John, Eddie, sort yourselves out. See you later.
There could be more bombs, but
yeah. Anything could have happened. It's fine. You sort yourself out. See you back at home, all right?
Yeah. Turns out there is another bomb underneath the boat that Court finds, yeah. And then
I know Court. It sort of dawns on Court, and then Eddie's looking. Do you see Eddie? He's just like,
yeah,
looks really gormlessly. Go like, what's going on? What's happened here?
Classic.
Eddie is very much like Trigger from Only Fools and Horses in this episode. Yeah. He has absolutely no clue what's going on.
He has a major man crush on him.
Oh yeah, he does. Big time. And you can see why. John is an impressive dude.
He's pretty cool.
Like, he is an impressive guy. So anyway, he goes under the boat. He dives under the boat, finds the bomb under the boat, which appears to be attached to the propeller. Have I got that right?
Yes.
And then like takes it off and chucks it,
yep,
as much as you can underwater, and it kind of explodes underwater.
He tells Eddie to hit it and go, and then they speed. Well, I wouldn't say speed off.
Oh yeah, they speed. Yeah, they kind of gently chug off
in the boat called the Lovely Lady or something. It is.
Yeah, something like that. Lucky Lady, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes, it probably was.
Anyway, but yeah, they slowly chug away from this bomb, and it explodes. They do leave the other boat out there, though, don't they? The other guy's boat.
I think so.
They just leave that. No problem. Someone will come. They'll come across that eventually.
Yeah.
Just leave it out here.
And that's and that's pretty much it for this episode. Apart from that, you find out that the dead Sam guy has left Court the shop in his will, and then he makes Eddie look after it.
Does he? I missed that bit.
You've really turned off, yeah? Because Court.
Yeah, I really switched off that Eddie. Yeah.
Court's off somewhere. He's had enough, and you think at this point, oh, he's just going to be one of those characters that has one episode and then buggers off.
Right, okay.
But I'm about to read next week's episode and his name gets mentioned. So they must have thought, oh, this guy's... Either two things happened at this point. They must have realised, one, he's good at the show.
Yeah.
Or two, the guy like we were talking about earlier, Trevor, whatever his name is, Peter Phelps, left the show for, I don't know what reasons. We might...
Don't know, pissed off a producer or something and... Or just went, this is awful, I can't do this anymore.
This is, yeah. And they've called him back. But that was it. Any other thoughts of this episode? Have we missed anything?
Well, I don't think we've missed anything, Dave, because there wasn't a lot to it, really, was there? I mean, new character, completely new character.
Exciting.
Reoccurring, yeah. It was exciting. There are exciting bits in it. Really, really good bits in it. Completely spoiled by this stupid 10 minutes of sandwich story that made me kind of want to punch myself in the face. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And like, I just don't know why they have to do it. Why do they have to do it? I just don't understand. Why can't it just have one good storyline and stick with that? What's the theory behind it? You know, why? Someone, please, tell me why.
I'm trying to defend it, but even I can't defend the sandwich storyline.
I just don't know. It makes no sense to me.
It's a shame that that's the kind of storylines they're giving to Shawnee and Jill.
I think maybe they've got a lot of characters and they just feel like they have to have these other storylines to include the other characters, but it just doesn't justice, does it?
Well, they have to have a storyline when someone doesn't die in it, and someone died in the other storyline in this one, unless someone died from eating a sandwich. I don't know.
And it almost makes it, when someone dies in the serious storyline, or it's something like, or it's like the domestic abuse storyline, or it's something that's really kind of supposed to be gritty, and then they do this like semi-jokey but not really very funny kind of,
it's not balanced, is it?
Just jars, doesn't it? It really just jars. It feels like, it feels wrong. Like I'm all for there being levity in this show, and I understand that the point of this show is action and jokes. We'll make it about action and jokes then, you know, like, do that. If that's your thing, do that. Don't try and put all the drama in it like this and then have people die and people supposed to be sad and mourning about it, and then cut to someone moaning about a sandwich or getting like some bikini clad girls to sell his sarnies for him. You know, like, that's kind of that, you know, just ugh.
anyway
I think I'm going to be saying this a lot for the next however long we do this podcast for.
I think we've said it enough already this season. So next week, let's go on to next week. So next week.
Yeah. Next week will be better. We'll have a guest for you next week as well.
I'm actually really glad we didn't put anyone through this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, we didn't have a guest for this week, and we thought we'd do another episode, just me and Dave. Because, yeah, why would we want to torture anyone else with this episode?
Well, I watched it and I texted you and I was like, this sandwich is just shit.
Yeah, you did.
And then you were like, oh, let's try and find... I was like, honestly...
One,
if we were trying to introduce someone to Baywatch on this episode, it would not have gone well.
No, it wouldn't have gone well, no. No, that's very true.
I don't think... but maybe next week. So I'll read it out. So next week is called We Need a Vacation. Any ideas of what you think that one is?
I reckon now we've got John, as we know, a recurring character. It's going to involve him. Mm-hmm. I think John, Mitch and Craig are going to go on a lads weekend.
You're so close. Let me read it. Craig, Court, and Eddie... Yeah. Take a road trip to Mexico, but their vacation south of the border turns ugly when they tangle with an angry American tourist who won't leave them alone. Sounds like The Hitcher, to be honest. At Baywatch, Mitch gets an uninvited house guest, Captain Fork, when his wife leaves him, and Hobie develops a crush on Shawnee.
Oh God, this is going to be painful. Oh no. Okay.
People can't see.
I'm not looking forward to next week. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm looking forward to the road trip to Mexico. That's what I'm holding on to.
Yeah. That might be great. It doesn't make sense. Why is it Eddie? Why is it Eddie and not Mitch?
Because Eddie loves Court. Right. Eddie absolutely adores
Well, yeah. Man. Yeah, but it's supposed to be Court and Craig and Mitch are supposed to be buddies though, aren't they? They're the three, like, you know, but I don't know. I guess Mitch has got to work, hasn't he?
I guess so. But we've had this. Hobie develops a crush on Shawnee. We've had one shot in the Heatwave episode when Hobie was like, with Shawnee once before.
Oh, we have. You're right.
And now we're gonna get a whole. Well, I was about to say a whole episode, but we'll probably get a whole 10 minutes of it. And young love.
Okay, I'll tell you how this is gonna go. It's going to be really inappropriate. It's going to be really horribly awkward. Hobie is going to be a whiny bitch. And Shawnee's going to kiss him at the end. and he's going to be all blushy.
And besides, and that's, if you're a bit older...
Oh, and that's how it's going to go. I guarantee it.
You know, another lady...
Captain Thorpe staying at Mitch's house, that's going to be like the odd couple, isn't it?
I was literally like... about to say it's going to be the odd couple.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be that.
Be fun.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, you know, I will have a lot of respect if they like if it is actually funny, because it could be funny. Yeah, let's be right. This could be a funny thing.
The bones of that episode.
To be honest, all three could be funny if they do it well, but they won't.
I mean, it won't. Why do they go to Mexico and tangle with an angry American tourist? Why can't they go to Mexico and tangle like make the locals angry?
Or like tangle with an angry British tourist.
Like, get involved with the cartel, then I'll be interested.
Turn it into Breaking Bad.
I'll watch that again.
I would definitely watch that.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah, I mean it might be alright. There's the Hobie episode, the Hobie story will not be alright. The Hobie story will be horrible. The Mitch and Captain Thorpe story could be okay. I can see Captain Thorpe kind of coming in and taking over Mitch's house and organising his life, and yeah, I can see that. The Mexico storyline,
Captain Thorpe's going to wear an apron, a penny.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. You're right.
And he's going to be really annoyed that Mitch didn't tell him where he was at one point or something. And be like, well, I've cooked dinner.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to happen. And he's going to tidy up Mitch's house at some, like rearrange it. Like, yeah, I can see that.
Turn all his clothes pink or something. If any of this happens, then we've been watching the show too much.
The Mexico storyline is the only one I'm not going to predict, though, because I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But yeah, the other two, that's cast iron, that's what's going to happen.
So that's next week. And if you've been enjoying what we've been doing, please leave us comments. And on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, we have an email address, baywatchedpod@hotmail.com. Get on it.
Well, hey.
Email us your Baywatch stuff. We still want to see all the memorabilia and stuff. If you've got autographs, pictures with series one, and if anyone knows, if anyone knows how, why that guy was trying to kill Court, or what's happened to Trevor, I'd like to hear that. Or why that happened.
Where did Trevor go?
But apart from that, Rich, Nick, over to your bit.
Big fan. If you're a big fan of a newbie GIF, in the same way that I am, then join us on Facebook, it's Baywatch Pod. And you can join us. We've got a little group over on Facebook where I basically just post GIFs and remind you of new episodes that are coming out. If you would prefer a still image to a GIF, then you can join us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can see our nice nice still images with the nice filters that I like to put on. but if you want a bit more entertainment and some lighthearted laughs at ourselves, then join us on Twitter. And most of our content kind of goes out on Twitter. You can find us there, Baywatched Pod, and you can find us on all those things with searching that.
It's like a challenge now. We've challenged ourselves to watch these bloody shows.
So. Yeah, it is. It is. We're going to get through it. And as you can tell, some of these episodes are a slog, and some of them aren't as hard as this one. I have to say, this was quite a hard one to get through. But quite a lot of the episodes we watch are easier to talk about and have more things that kind of happen. And you know, we don't always nod off halfway through.
Bloody sandwiches. Right, and on that moan, it's time to say bye.
Oh, sorry. We'll be more cheerful next time, I promise.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Richard, again, for your commentary.
No problem. I'm always happy to be here, honest.
I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot.
Bye.